Lowe's knows when you're looking for reliability, the right brand makes all the difference. And now, Lowe's is the exclusive home improvement retailer for the Whirlpool water treatment line, including their Wi-Fi softener, under-sink filtration system, and more. With Whirlpool's proven performance and our everyday low prices, better tasting, better quality water is within reach. Shop pro-trusted brands like Whirlpool and more, in-store or online. Lowe's. We help, you save.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
I was out at Houston, Texas, training camp practice, day number 6 this morning. Their second fully padded practice, and things got testy. Started early on. There was a moment where CJ Stroud threw a deep pass to Derek Stingley, who had a very good day. He had a forced fumble, which he returned for a touchdown. Everything you got to take with a grain of salt because the tackling that goes on is strange, if it even exists. But Stingley, while he gets this interception, sees Tank Dell coming at the last second trying to take the football away from him. Stingley and Dell proceed to have a tug of war for the football for 20 to 30 seconds. Multiple teammates are trying to separate them. So right there, Joe, you felt like this could perhaps lead to some more physicality. I liked seeing it. I mean, these practices in shorts, it's very, very frustrating to watch because there's really so little that you can take out of it unless it's quarterbacks throwing to receivers and the way that the defensive backs are covering those receivers. But there's a little physicality there.
Yeah, I mean, and it's – training camp's a weird thing, Paul, because I kind of wish I was around for the days when it was, you know, the two-a-days and full pads and full hitting. I wish I could just experience that just to see what that was like. Because obviously all the – no offense to the older generation, but they all talk about like how great it was and everything you'd see. And everything you see at training camp now, you know, like they're not going low, they're not going high, they're not really taking guys down to the ground, so it is hard to get a read. It does seem that the most clear stuff, like you said, you get from training camp is what the wide receivers do against the corners and how the quarterbacks do getting them the ball. Like that is the most you can really learn and see. So with Lassiter and Stingley and all the wide receivers, which is probably a good thing for, at least for our perspective this year, because you have the highs of the highs with the wide receivers and the offense, and then you have the biggest question marks around defense.
100%. And as far as those question marks, okay, you're wondering what's happening with cornerback number 2. I did throw out a question on my Twitter, at Gallant Says, and I'm curious as to how people feel 1 to 10 on a confidence scale with Derek Stingley and Kamari Lassiter as your 1 and 2s. We'll talk about that in the last hour of the show. But that was the first moment where things got physical.
Mm-hmm.
It got very physical right before the end. For those who don't know, here is what happened. Stephon Diggs caught a pass over the middle of the field while they were in no huddle mode. And he falls to the ground. Jimmy Ward comes in very late and doesn't give him a cheap shot, but is a little extra physical as Diggs is down on the ground. Diggs took exception with it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think anything of it right after it happened. I did think at the moment, oh, wow. But there was a pause, and I looked away for a second. I look back, and all of a sudden, there are players from each sideline running into the middle of this scrum. And I was like, wait, did Diggs and Ward get into it? So it takes a while for things to separate. You see Diggs removed from this pileup. And then a little bit later, as the crowd of Texans players that are all pushing and shoving each other moves around the field, Derek Stingley, I don't know what Dalton Schultz said or did, but Stingley sees Schultz and just runs up and with his two hands, shoves him as hard as he can, and throws Schultz, who is a massive tight end and bigger than Derek Stingley, to the ground. Shout out to Derek Stingley putting in the work, getting a little more physical. Was a bit of a cheap shot. Not sure.
Yeah, Schultz, it's a cheap shot.
Not sure Schultz, if he was prepared for that, would have been ragdolled the way that he was. But the boys are getting physical out there, and you love to see it. When your team has a fight at training camp practice, it means that they're ready to go and put that hurting on other teams.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, Texans, swarm!
Swarm! We just put it up on our Twitter account. I just quote tweeted it there at ESPN97.5. So if you want to see it, you can see it there. Schultz is kind of taking his helmet off, or like it looks like he undoes his chin guard.
Was he about to go Richie Incognito mode?
No, he just
hit him with the helmet.
This is a pretty dirty hit,
Miles Garrett style.
Like, this is a big cheap shot from Stingley.
Stingley is who you're talking
about. It's a big cheap shot from Stingley because Schultz is walking, his head is down. It looks like he's undoing his chin strap, and then all of a sudden Sting is running up in as full speed as he can be, and leaving his feet and putting his shoulder into him.
I'll be honest, I didn't know Stingley had it in him.
I didn't either.
I kind of like it.
I do too.
I know it's a cheap shot, but I like the physicality that he showed today. Now, a couple of funny comments. I think Mega was the first one who said it on the Twitch. Oh, wow, Derek Stingley's going to get injured off after that one. I mean, Stingley does get hurt a lot, so maybe you don't want him to be this physical at least this time of year, but I didn't know he had that in him. I like it.
CJ Stroud then turns around and slowly just walks to Dalton Schultz, and he's just slightly holding him back. So leadership quality, it's good.
He's willing to step into
a fight. He's intelligent enough to not get into the fight.
Mm-hmm.
He's just, you know, helping break it up. But I can't believe we're here already, though. Like typically, the feistiness and the fighting, it's a little bit later in training camp.
Yes.
They've got a lot of training camp left to go. Good thing they got four preseason games to take out their frustration.
Yeah. Are you scared that the Bears are going to catch some of this fire?
Yeah, when Tyler, what's his name?
Badgett.
And Davis Mills are going toe-to-toe in the Hall of Fame game.
I guess everyone whose name we've said this segment, they will not be on the field for the vast majority of the Hall of Fame game.
I wonder if CJ will play like four snaps.
No, he's above that. It's Bears. It's like FCS Midwest.
It's more about the Hall of Fame game than it is the Bears.
Well, also, I think it's also the Bears, too. Like, they're beneath the Texans.
They are. That field is a disaster, though.
Yeah, that's true.
So I would rather none of the starters play in that game.
Isn't it like a high school field?
Basically.
It looks like a high school field. And if I'm not mistaken, they had to cancel the game one year because the field melted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which happens.
Oh, yeah, like the turf or something? Yeah, there's like an issue with the turf?
The turf melted. Sometimes that field turf, it does get melty out there. Our good friend DJ Bien-Aimé kept stats. Do you want to guess what CJ Stroud's numbers were thrown today?
I'm going to guess a 60% completion percentage.
Ooh, no.
Am I low or high?
Well, you're high.
40%?
Yeah, 40%.
No touchdowns?
Check that. Let me do a little math here. Lower than 40%.
Lower?
Yeah.
20%?
Higher than that.
30%?
33%. 4 for 12.
That's not good.
Four drops, though.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So he was basically 66%.
Also, I don't know how many of these attempts I can take seriously because Stroud definitely was sacked multiple times in situations where he was able to throw the football afterwards because they're not throwing him to the ground. Will Anderson had a couple of sacks, and he also had a deflected pass at the line of scrimmage. It was a good day for Will Anderson. So if you're looking for Will Anderson to take that next step, this was a very good day for him. But it's very tricky watching a quarterback stand behind the line of scrimmage for a while, have a defender rush up to him, and then like basically fly off to the side like a plane trying to avoid another one.
So, Paul, this is now 2 days in a row in which yesterday you said it, and you're saying it today, and DJ's tweeting this out, were drops.
Yeah, a lot of drops.
Who's got the dropsies? Mm. Is it like a collective thing?
Tank Dell had a drop.
Okay.
Dalton Schultz had another drop.
That's not surprising.
Let me look through my notes.
Schultz has, you know, a drop record. Mm-hmm. He would feel like a lot of times last year he would drop a big play and then like three plays later have a massive gain. Yes. So he'd make up for it.
Brevin Jordan had a drop.
Okay.
Dalton Schultz got dropped in that video.
Yeah, multiple drops.
Hey-o.
Multiple drops. Robert Woods might have had a drop, might have had a fumble. Not sure.
Oh, Booth needs to review it.
Mm-hmm. He got lit up on the very next play, too, by Jeffrey Okuda.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, Okuda making plays.
So if we're doing the, and this is a new award that I'm going to give out, the Matt Khalil Award. For those who don't remember, Matt Khalil was a tackle that the Houston Texans brought in. And my God, he was so bad at training camp practice, and to the point where he was getting asked, Bill O'Brien, about Khalil, and he was getting really angry and testy about it. But the Matt Khalil Award for the worst practice of the day, Robert Woods. Robert Woods.
I still think he's getting cut, so it's not good for him. That's not good for him. I forgot about Matt Khalil.
It is a crowded wide receiver room because the play of the day was made by Johnny Johnson III, this amazing diving catch, and like that guy's not even like the fifth guy off the roster at wide receiver. There's so many good receivers that they have on the team. Like,
yeah,
he has no chance to make it.
I saw someone, it might have even been DJ yesterday, just tweeting through practice, through camp, and they tweeted about, I think it was about Ben Skowronek. And I'm like, I forgot they got that guy, too.
He had the Matt Khalil Award for worst practice yesterday.
That's not good.
So there you go, everybody. That is what I saw at Houston Texans training camp this morning. It is Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coming up next, who scares you more, the Mariners or the Rangers in the American League West after the Astros are looking down the barrel of a gun from the broke-ass Oakland A's who could theoretically sweep them this afternoon? You answer that question next, 713-780-3776 to call to text, on Twitch, at ESPN975, on YouTube, at ESPN Houston. First, let me tell you about my friend at mybookie.ag. I said friend. I meant friends. Mybookie.ag is such an awesome website. You can bet on everything, whether it's with live dealers, some blackjack, some poker, with their online casino, which you can visit from the comfort of your own home. You can bet on who the next president of the United States will be. You can bet on the Olympics. You can bet on, I mean, they've got Taekwondo odds out here. Do you want to hear the Olympic men's Taekwondo odds to win? I'm a real big fan of, I don't know who any of these people are, but Banlug Tub Tim Dang? Oh, dude. Plus 1850 to win the men's Taekwondo 68 kilograms gold medal? Oh, I'm all there. I'm all there, baby. You can bet on that and so many other things at mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975. For an awesome deposit bonus, they will match up to $1,000 if you enter that code. If you are a returning subscriber, you'll get a little extra something yourself. It's mybookie.ag, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with mybookie.ag.
Back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
Who are you more scared of? We touched on this yesterday in the AL West. The Texas Rangers are just three games back of the Houston Astros, who still lead the American League West by percentage points over the Seattle Mariners, who cannot get out of their own way.
And they just lost J.P. Crawford for 4 to 6 weeks.
He's got a hairline fracture in...
A finger.
Yeah. I forget which one. I think it's his pinky.
Soft.
Whoa, hang on. Joe.
I know. Kyle Tucker would have to have it amputated. I understand. Okay?
That's what I was thinking. I was like, wow, what a specific injury report. I really wish the Astros could mix it up a little and give us a specific... We know which finger and what the injury is. If it was the Astros, it'd be hand discomfort. And then he'll be back tomorrow, and then we'll do that for 6 weeks.
It must be some sort of hairline fracture with Kyle Tucker. And for those who don't know, the update on Kyle Tucker today from Dana Brown during his visit with the flagship was this. He's starting light baseball activities on the field and hitting inside. He's dealing with soreness and the deep bone bruises. Really sore. He needs to be fully healthy, but he's making progress. I'd be really disappointed if it was September then he returns, but we're optimistic that it'll be before September. September! This injury happened June 8th.
Yep. Not great, Paul. It's not great. One day he'll get back.
Astute analysis. You're right. It is not great.
One day he'll get back. Maybe September. Maybe March.
What if he retires from the game?
Maybe August.
What if he's the new Mike Trout? You see Mike Trout.
He got hurt again yesterday. I saw that.
God.
I think I'm at the point.
I feel. And look.
It's like the McCullers thing. I just feel bad for Mike Trout.
And he wasn't even in an Angels game. I mean, it was a he got injured in a rehab start.
Yeah.
Two innings with soreness and a surgically repaired left knee. The expectation was he could be back by week's end. That may no longer be the case.
I'm
not scared of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim in the AL West at all, especially with no Mike Trout. No chance of a miracle Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim team of 2024.
No, there's not. The Rangers are the threat right now because the Mariners just keeps getting worse and worse. And if they're still going to, I believe they're going to sell at the deadline. I just don't believe that they're going to go out and try to acquire talent and try to fix their problems. It's just not how that organization has operated. If they do something different than that in the next 6 days, then they're still the threat. But it's still it's the Rangers. And you look at, you know, the Astros schedule coming up versus the Rangers. They're pretty similar. I mean, the Rangers play the Red Sox a bunch. They play the Astros. They play the Yankees. They play the Pirates. They play the Guardians. You play a lot of those similar teams, obviously, with the Dodgers mixed in. But they get the White Sox right now. And they're going to roll through them probably the next 2 days. The Astros with Hunter Brown on the mound in, what, an hour? Need to get a victory to keep holding them off. And you got to hope for the best this weekend. I mean, the fact that Spencer Arrighetti is going to start on Sunday against the Los Angeles Dodgers, good luck.
Yep. And I hate that we're looking to Hunter Brown right now saying, Hunter, save us. Please save us, you with your 8-6 record and somehow 4.14 ERA, please save us.
Mm-hmm.
And Brown, based off of the way he has pitched of late, should be able to do it. I do think it's worth mentioning that the A's have actually had a pretty good July. So just keep that in mind. I think they actually have a winning record. I think they're something like 11-8 or something.
They've got some good players. The kid who's in right field, I can't remember his name right now, but he had the home run. Threw out Bregman at home. You got Brent Rooker, who's a stud. They're pitching solid. Like they have a good young core, but they're
NPCs,
just
yeah.
They're just the A's.
Mm-hmm.
You just know that by the time all these players are good, they're going to probably trade them all.
They do generally play very well in the month of August. That's why I call the Oakland A's the Oakland Augusters, because their greatest moments in franchise history happened in August, like the 20-game winning streak they had, or that other winning streak they had a couple of years ago where NBC Sports Bay Area put out that "What are they saying about us now?" graphic about the Houston Astros.
Yeah.
Remember when they lost to the A's lost to a team with a losing record in the playoffs? What a bunch of pores.
Yeah, but look, they've beaten the Phillies they won 2 out of 3 against the Phillies before the All-Star break. Then they took 2 out of 3 the Angels, and now they've taken 2 out of 3 at minimum.
Oakland's only 12 games back, Joe.
Oakland?
They're a good week away from being where the Astros are.
I mean, it only took the Astros 24 days to get 10 games.
Oh my God, wouldn't it be so funny if the A's caught up
all three teams?
Make another movie.
That would be criminal.
This division is such an abomination to the Lord.
Yeah. Dell started calling it the AL South, which I can see the similarities now. I thought it was harsh at first. I can see the similarities between the AFC South and what we're looking
at. It's not even the AFC South. The AFC South, boring. This is the Sun Belt.
This is what the Patriots had. Sometimes that's what helps build dynasties. Is you're playing a trash division.
Well, I mean, when you have the same record against all the other teams you play, too.
Yeah.
In fact, a better record against all the other teams that you play.
True.
Some would perhaps look at that and say, hey, noted and F off. You know, some would say that. I wouldn't.
But some.
Some would notice that. Some clear would point. Some would, shot.
Some would point at you. And say that, but not everyone.
Not everyone would say that, but some would say, hey, go lose to the Packers 30 times in a row again. And they would say that and then say F off.
Packers have an easy division, too.
It's true, and they don't win with it.
I really do take things a little too personally.
It's okay.
That. Okay. It is funny. I forgot who I was talking with out at Texas training camp. I think it was Sean Pendergast and some others on the other day. And we were talking about the documentary, the Patriots documentary. And he asked me, like, have you seen it? And I just went on like a 2-minute unhinged rant about something I haven't even seen. And he's like, well, you should watch it, actually. Like, he's just trying to show me.
I just imagine like a Texans PR staffer just like walking by as you're just ranting and raving,
just dropping hard F-bombs.
And they're just like, Paul, what's wrong? And he's like, this stupid documentary.
They tried to pin the Aaron Hernandez murders on Bill Belichick.
Yeah, they did. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. But okay. I still think that the Mariners pitching makes them more of a problem. They really just have to stop being the worst offense in baseball. I suppose that's more difficult to ask now, though, that they are apparently starting all of their minor leaguers. They had to, I think, scratch 3 Tacoma starters to play in last night's game.
Hey, and the Astros are starting Aledmys Díaz, so all things are equal.
Yeah, I don't get that one.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw. Actually, I haven't seen the lineup today, but it's just the
bad? Yes, you're
they
right.
Just don't have a good depth right now. He's not playing today.
It's just not good.
But Chaz McCormick's playing, so
it's just bad.
You gotta make sure you have a 200 hitter in the lineup at all times.
Yeah, I don't want to see him anymore.
I don't either. And they're facing another lefty today, I believe. So it's why Lo Profito's not going to be in the lineup, and same with Cabbage. But
you know what? I get these lefty matchups thing, but like Chaz McCormick is not good. Oh, my God. The bottom of this order. Yeah, Singleton, McCormick. Dubon's not hitting well recently. I don't know why they've underlined Jeremy Pena.
They just random. I don't understand what the Astros social media do. They just randomly underline guys.
Look, if you get swept by the A's, like, come on, man.
Now, Jeremy had a great day yesterday, to be fair.
Jeremy Pena.
He was the best player on the team yesterday.
Well, low bar. So.
That one play with Singleton was pretty sick, where he dropped it and then flipped it to Arrigetti. Or not to Arrigetti, to Bloss, I think it was still at the time. But that was a pretty nice recovery there. But, yeah, not a lot of good things from yesterday's game, besides Pena.
Yeah, I shouldn't have look, this is how I look at it, and this is how every Astros fan should look at it. You shouldn't have to watch a game against the A's. You should assume a victory, and you should be able to take the night off. You know? Because it's a hard life watching every single baseball game over the course of a season. You know? Some people are paid to do it, and my heart is with you in these difficult times where they're playing against the Oakland A's on the West Coast. So we'll see what happens this afternoon. But my God, don't get swept. Please, don't get swept. You should be building on your AL West lead with how poorly the Mariners are playing. And yet, here we are. Make a move to get a pitcher. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Up next, we are 43 days away from the start of the NFL season. And we're going to play some games of what's worse and what's better based off of some images we're seeing at NFL training camps. It's Galan and George, Joe George, Paul Galan, ESPN 97.5,
92.5. We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Paul Galan and Joe George.
We are 43 days away from the start of the NFL season. In my opinion, the best number 43 of all time is former Steelers safety and head and shoulders spokesman with his long locks of curly hair, Troy Polamalu. What I liked most about Troy Polamalu was when he would freelance and do stuff like, I don't know, launch himself over the center, perfectly timing it so that he could tackle a quarterback as they were getting the snap.
Oh, how about
great
that
play?
Oh my goodness. Why not? He's had that kind of a day.
Wow.
He makes that kind of an impression and impact on every game he played.
It felt like he did that, Joe, every like sixth game or so.
It was awesome. I love Troy Polamalu. He's one of my favorite players of all time.
I enjoyed him specifically as a safety because I liked how much free reign he had.
Yeah.
I'm sure his coaches probably went crazy very often. You're supposed to cover deep, and all of a sudden you just decide, you know, I'm just going to fly up to the
line. But it's like that era of him and Ed Reed, you know, in Pittsburgh and Baltimore, Those guys could just do whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted. They were in charge. They knew best at all times.
Reed was more smart. I know we're smarter. I know we're all biased because of how poorly he played for the Houston Texans, but Reed was the best center fielder in the history of the NFL. Paul Amalu was fun because he was, I think, the most versatile safety because he was flying all over the place. He was pretty good in coverage, but he would kill people out there. He really hit them hard.
And the commercials were great.
They're all right. They're all right.
They're great.
It's a lot of hair. It's funny to think of a soft-spoken man like him being an absolute killer out of the field the way that he was. The only other Hall of Famer to wear 43, Cliff Harris. I liked Darren Sproles back in the day. He used to wear number 43.
He was so much fun in Madden.
Mm-hmm. He was.
So much fun.
NCAA football 2003, if you imported the draft class, you'd draft Darren Sproles first overall because he was the fastest running back possible. Houston Texans, who are wearing the number 43, Neville Hewitt. Every time I see Neville Hewitt out there, I'm reminded that it would be nice if Christian Harris was healthy. He has not been at practice. Jonathan Grimes is my favorite number 43 of all time. Running back, William & Mary. Always seemed to average about 5 yards a carry, and the Texans just never gave him the football all that much. But that's neither here nor there. We're going to play a little game of what looked worse right here. Patrick Mahomes showing up for Chiefs training camp, looking a little thick.
Uh-huh.
Or Bryce Young going viral for looking like a middle schooler with a backpack as he showed up to training camp.
It's Bryce.
It's definitely Bryce.
Because one of them is the best quarterback in the NFL and could be one of the best quarterbacks of all time. The other one looks like a child.
Bryce should not wear a backpack.
No.
In fact, unless you are carrying a lot of stuff on your back, no man should ever have a backpack. Yeah, that's right, Joe.
Is my bag okay?
No.
It's single strap.
Mm-mm. No backpacks.
Wow.
You notice how I've got a briefcase here?
Fancy Paul.
Yeah, and you never have trouble with loading stuff
doesn't
up.
Matter.
Or
my man.
Stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
just like I never have troubles going from my car to my home up a giant steep flight of stairs with one trip, getting all my grocery bags in. I never have any issues with the bag. It's more just carrying my computer and my mouse in, and I drop those off.
Yeah, how's the mouse doing today?
Working? It's still working.
That's good. He's pulled something out of his pocket.
There's a piece of my headphones I guess are falling apart.
Okay, I was like, I thought you like pulled out like a screw out of the table or something in your pocket.
There's a screw in my leg. But Bryce Young, in particular, if you're a smaller guy and you're trying to have people take you more seriously as an NFL quarterback, Bryce, you got to carry a briefcase from now on. You can't do a backpack.
I wonder what he had in there. I always wonder
it was
that.
Pretty full.
When guys have backpacks walking, I'm like, shouldn't it already be in the locker room? Or didn't they give you your cleats and stuff? Like, what is actually in the bag that he's having to carry to go to practice?
Clothes, but you have clothes there. Your iPad or your Surface.
Yes. Yeah,
whatever they're using these days. You don't need a full backpack for that.
He should hire an assistant who's like 5'5".
No. What? He needs to hire like a midget. Like a
whoa. Drop an M bomb.
Back to back days.
Press the dump button, Sean. My God. We can't have you using this offensive language.
He needs to hire Tyrion Lannister to be his assistant. So that way there's certain angles in which Bryce Young looks tall.
Number one, his name is Peter Dinklage, as you continue to be offensive to the smaller people of our country.
I was just watching the OG Game of Thrones last night. Because that's how the Astros game was going. So I restarted Game of Thrones.
Oh, that's fine.
I was like, I'm over this. They're not going to score any runs.
Bryce Young cannot afford Peter Dinklage. Peter Dinklage could hire Bryce Young to be his person that looks like it's his intern from college.
I like the game of who could hire who. Who's more likely to hire the other as an assistant? I mean,
Bryce Young gets a pretty fat paycheck. He's well paid. Peter can't cost that
for for the next 3 years.
Peter Dinklage 100% has more than Bryce Young.
See, Junior Bronco says here, Joe can say midget because he's a little person.
No, you're saying that word.
I know. God, it actually makes me uncomfortable.
It's so offensive. Every single time you say it. I mean, my God.
All right, I'll stop.
You just said it. Yeah, I mean, you've said it like three times in 24 hours.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I won't say it again.
for the next minute, the next 2 minutes.
All right, next story, Darren Sproles.
No, Darren Sproles was just vertically challenged.
Juice Vaughn, thoughts?
He's real little.
Oh.
Real little.
So I'm trying to be better, okay? Oh. I'm trying to be better for the show.
So if he's black, he's little, but if he's white, he's
no.
Sorry, I said that. I had Joe's just bringing some mean things out of my mouth right now. What's better, Joe Burrow going viral, showing up to training camp with hair that made him look like Eminem during his Slim Shady era, bleached blonde and short, or Aaron Rodgers wearing a shirt that he clearly bought at a gift shop in Egypt of an Egyptian cat wearing like sunglasses or something?
Rodgers, for sure.
Rodgers, it's pretty
such
funny.
A good troll.
It's pretty funny showing up wearing something that just completely skewers the situation where the Jets created for themselves by saying that Rodgers was not excused to go to Egypt. All they had to do was say, yeah, he was excused. That's all they had to do. Robert Saleh is going to get fired. I can't wait. I can't wait for another Jets disastrous season. People are starting to talk him up again. Salivating.
Don't quite understand the whole bleaching your hair, though. It's not for me.
Why not?
I mean, we grew up in the late 90s, early 2000s. So there's there's photos of me out there. Probably in my parents' house. I've got the bleach top.
Really? Oh, you did frosted tips?
No. The whole top.
Right here. So you've done this before?
Not the sides though.
The top?
Just the top part. I don't know. Maybe that's what us Illinois people did.
What?
But it's like was very common.
It was very common.
Yes.
Just to do just the top.
Just the middle.
And not
part.
Not just.
I know.
Tips.
I know. It was middle school. I don't understand.
Highlights?
No.
That's crazy. That's a crazy look.
I think that's why I lost my hair, honestly. I really think it's why my hair is just missing right here. It's because of that.
This seems like something you would do in 2024, but it would be blue instead.
Yes. When I was in middle school, it's like all the dudes had it. It was really weird.
Man, what a follower.
This feels like...
Yes.
This feels like when...
I wanted frosted tips for what it's worth.
A high school team, like a high school football or baseball team, like that's what they do. It's like they'll all, when they go to state, they'll all shave their head or have mullets or something. Like that's what this feels like, hazing of some sort.
It does.
Yeah, it's just being stupid.
I think the swim team in my school did this.
And then their hair turned green?
Yeah.
From the chlorine? But yeah. So I don't know why Joe Burrow did this. So Aaron Rodgers better.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers, you can just take off the shirt.
I
you're kind of stuck with this look for a while for Burrow.
I like that Burrow did this. I think you guys are hating.
I just don't understand the point.
Yeah, I'm waiting for him to be at the podium, being like explaining his process.
You should look back with pride at your basic, mid 2000s era. There's nothing wrong with that. I had a. Not a puka shell necklace, but I had beads. And I remember one time I forgot to take it off at practice, and someone snatched my $9.99 beads out there like I was Michael Crabtree.
But also, I mean, Joe Burrow was born in 96, so like it's not like he grew up in this era of
I was going to say, he's literally Eminem. My age. My age. And when you're like, yeah, we all grew up in the late 90s, I was like, oh.
So what, he was three when Eminem's
Everything
debut album
comes
came out?
Back. Everything comes back.
Maybe it's because Eminem just came out with a new album.
Yeah, probably.
That might be why.
He probably loves
the new
album. Is
he a Cody Rhodes fan? Isn't that a wrestler who beats
his
hair?
A lot of people say he looks like Cody Rhodes.
He looks more like Cody Rhodes than Eminem.
Yeah, he does look like Cody Rhodes. Yeah.
All right.
I can see that.
More training camp reporting news. Jordan Love, he's not holding out. He's just not taking the field until both sides can finalize an extension. But he's there for work in the film room. Brandon Ayuk of the San Francisco 49ers, he's reporting to training camp despite desires for a new contract. CeeDee Lamb, meanwhile, for the Cowboys, even though they are prioritizing his contract over Dak Prescott and Micah Parsons, he's not reporting to training camp. Ja'Marr Chase looking for a new wide receiver deal. Mike Brown's the owner of the Cincinnati Bengals. I saw this clip online, and I mean, you guys think that the person who is running the United States of America sounds old and out of place. Mike Brown, oh boy.
He's a key player. Next to Joe, he's our next one. And he knows it. We know it. This may take a while. We are going to bend over backwards to get it done. I can't tell you when, though.
I saw this clip online.
What was that noise?
It's his voice.
That's the noise you make when you turn 88 or however old it is.
That is the guy running the Cincinnati Bengals. And yeah, clearly up there in age. I think Bengals fans low-key wish that there would be somebody else who owns the franchise. They got to be somewhat valuable with Joe Burrow on the team. Like, you would think that somebody would think about buying them. But the interesting thing is, I mean, it's always belonged, much like with the Bears and the Halas family, mm-hmm. the Bengals have always belonged to the Brown family. Paul Brown, famously of the Cleveland Browns, who I believe the Browns were named after, was somehow ousted from the Browns organization and created the Bengals in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And it's only been the Brown family since then, and he is the cheapest owner, Mike Brown, in the NFL.
They need to... Those families need to sell the teams because their organizations would be much better off because they've got no place. And then I love the story where he, last year at week three, when Joe Burrow was dealing with a calf injury, drove over on his golf cart and tried to tell Joe he wasn't playing that week. And Joe played. But the idea that the owner was just like, hey, man, you're sitting this one out. Like, what?
You're not playing this week.
Like, could you imagine if Cal did that and we got wind of it? That Cal like went up to CJ and was like, hey, man, let's come flip some burgers. You're not playing this week.
Come over to my place.
Yeah, let's play some video. Let's play some video games.
Cook some burgers for Beryl.
We'll play some Guitar Hero.
Sounds like a date. We're gonna bring over a GameCube and something else in a backpack.
When that story came out about Cal McNair playing video games, I researched what were the top video games at the time, and that was when Rock Band and Guitar Hero were like at their peak. So I just like in my head it was just like Cal McNair in a room with no furniture, just like hitting the fake drums.
I can't hate on
or playing McNair. Like Cheap Trick, Surrender, guitar. Like,
listen, Cal McNair landed Hannah McNair, who has changed this organization. I can't hate on Cal.
I'm not hating on him.
No, it sounds like you are. it's not quite as bad as when Joel goes on his anti-Cal impersonation.
Yeah, we're not doing an impression.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite stories of all time. Like he was a younger man.
What's wrong with that?
Just playing video games with a backup quarterback.
Yeah,
and they're playing Rock Band.
You're playing video games instead of taking care of your son, but it's mainly because he won't.
Whoa! He's sleeping or watching my phone.
Great parenting.
Hey, look, there's certain times where like, daddy's got to kill some people on Call of Duty. Okay, mm-hmm. So you can have my phone, watch some Miss Rachel.
Yeah,
you're good to go.
All I can think about going back to Mike Brown and that audio we played of him, where he's like, essentially, while talking about how he's going to bend over backwards for Ja'Marr Chase. Please don't. I feel like you'd break a hip. All I can think of is Mike Brown going up to someone like Jonathan Joseph, who eventually came over to the Houston Texans, and saying something like,
you forgot to pay $2.99 for your Gatorade.
Because the Bengals had to pay for their Gatorade at practice. They had to pay for laundry. The amount of things that the Bengals had to pay for back in the day because of how cheap that organization is compared to other teams is jarring. You will wonder how the hell they're a billion-dollar corporation.
They're definitely going to sell when this guy dies, right?
You would think. I doubt that the family, cheap as they are, is going to be able to afford the inheritance tax.
It just depends on how many kids he has.
Well, like, also,
that's why the Bears are getting sold, is because there's all these kids, and three of the five, I think, already have publicly said they don't want the team. They want out. So
much for caring about your family's legacy.
They want the like billions of dollars.
Yeah, I was gonna say if that's what surprised me about Mike Brown. Cheap ass, but it's like, hey, someone will pay you $3 billion for this right now.
For this constantly appreciating asset. Yeah, that would be pretty nice. All right, it's Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. Sean Mapes, alma mater. Saw a little story about love finally come to a conclusion. And this is honestly one of the greatest stories in the recent history of college football. You'll hear it next. Kalana George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
Oh, speaking of college football, we'll be up at LaBerge Lake Charles towards the end of August, getting ready for college football week one, getting ready for the NFL season. If you're looking at the lines already for A&M, Notre Dame, you want to look ahead to Texas versus Michigan. What is that in week two? All of that you can already bet on at LaBerge Lake Charles. All your Texas teams are right there for you, whether it's the player props, the season over-unders. Each week you can go in there, get your bets in. When you're there, you can go to the betting kiosk, you can go to the front desk, or you can just use the ESPN Bet app as well. Great casino and restaurants. I can't recommend going to the steakhouse enough. It's absolutely incredible. It is so, so good when you go. Tell them Joe George sent you by, and when you go, make sure you download the Penn Play app, and you can win up to $200 in Penn Play cash. Make sure when you go to bet on your Texas teams, you do it at LaBerge Lake Charles.
You're listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
They found love. They found love in a hopeless place. I'm, of course, talking about Texas assistant football coach Jeff Banks, who finally tied the knot with the pole assassin. A stripper who was once on the Jerry Springer show. You can actually study her work. She's fantastic. Very talented. Pole dancing, very hard sport. And it is a sport, you know. And Danielle Thomas, the pole assassin, and Banks tied the knot. Now, you might know who the pole assassin is because her name at the time legally was, I believe, Pole Assassin. And she found herself in the midst of a police report because why? Well, because at a Halloween party, her pet emotional support monkey bit a human. And some questions were asked about, hey, should you be able to have an emotional support monkey? Number one. Number two, should she be allowed to keep this emotional support monkey, or does it need to be put down? Lots of big time questions.
This is such a great story. I truly forgot about this whole thing. But you know what? I'm glad that they're in love. That they, you know, they tied the knot. This is a great thing.
They found love in a hopeless place. You know, sort of like I think that song by Rihanna is about Chris Brown. Speaking of, See Tony Busby suing him.
Oh, I did see. Yeah. Tony Busby loves to sue famous people.
I'm cool with it. I'm cool with this one.
Oh yeah, it's his go-to.
Chris Brown is the absolute worst. For those who don't know, music star Chris Brown, his entourage, and the entertainment company Live Nation were named in a lawsuit filed by Houston attorney Tony Busby on behalf of four men who claimed to have been beaten after Brown performed in the Fort Worth area last weekend. The plaintiffs were invited backstage with about 40 women. The men were waiting in a room for about 30 minutes before Brown came in. After greeting them and shaking his hand, they tried to leave, but apparently Brown remembered they had previous beef and instructed his entourage to attack the men. The entourage surrounded them, threw chairs at them, and kicked and stomped them. So there you go. Well, at least it wasn't Chris Brown doing it this time. It was his entourage.
But he's deniability. Boss, so I guess he gets sued as well.
I think that's how it goes.
Yeah, that makes sense.
He's the moneymaker. And the moneymaker for the pole assassin, former stripper turned wife of Jeff Banks, they found love despite Monkeygate.
Man, I'm looking back through this story and like the original tweets that come up, and this first one from Tom Campbell, who I think he was a UT reporter at the time.
Yes. Imagine reporting this.
Yeah, and the tweet just says, "I'm hearing a report from a credible source that Texas Longhorns special teams coach Jeff Banks, monkey, allegedly attacked and seriously hurt a young trick-or-treater last night.
As one does.
The monkey's jaw apparently had to be pried off the small child."
Yeah. Hey, shouldn't have been sticking his finger in the cage.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's the kid's fault.
I don't know, but it does feel
Fourth down, Sean.
The old pole assassin actually, once this incident happened, tweeted a couple of paragraphs about it. People lie so much. It's ridiculous. Stop believing everything you hear and more of what you see. Shaking my head. No one was viciously attacked. This is a lie. A whole lie. She was not a part of any haunted house. The kid did not have permission to be on the other side of my property. That's true. Children do need to learn about property laws, and a monkey biting you on the wrist, well, you'll learn about property laws the rest of your life.
Stay in the haunted house, kid.
Yeah, don't go to the other side where you know there's a live monkey.
Yeah, you'd have all your fingers right now if you could read signs.
That's true. Let's continue reading the pole assassin's account of what happened. I had a haunted house on one side, gated off. He had no permission to go past the gate. Gates, another important thing for this child to learn about. I had no idea he went in my backyard. Neither did I know anything about a bite until a doctor of a neighborhood told me to treat a small bite. No parent contacted me about it. The 11 or 12-year-old, he's older, should know better, should know better than to enter someone's yard without permission and old enough to also follow the rules. Stop with the lies. And this is my monkey, not Jeff's. It's her emotional support monkey. But they were blaming Jeff Banks' monkey.
Yeah, got to get the clicks. No one's like, hey, recent or local...
Local stripper? That's local a better headline. Monkey.
But it doesn't get the clicks if you don't go Texas football's very own monkey.
Well, it does say that he left his wife and kids.
That was part of it.
For the pole assassin.
I mean, with a name like that, what would you do in that situation?
Not leave my wife and kids.
I don't know. How hot is she?
Yeah.
Listen, all
did you hear about the pet monkey?
Has a pet monkey and is a stripper, suing stripper pole at the house. Mm-hmm. I mean, a show from time to time.
I feel like you have to buy one.
Probably a big house if you have a haunted house, a gate, and then a monkey.
She does sound. Pin. She's making some good money. Is Jeff Banks still coaching college football somewhere?
Yeah, he's still special teams coach.
Is he really?
Yeah, and tight ends, I think.
Jeff Banks.
Wow, good for him. I didn't know if he... I didn't realize he survived Monkey Gate.
He's 49 years old.
Honestly, at the time, surviving the 5-7 season was probably a bigger obstacle than Monkey Gate. But yeah, boom. Came out smelling like roses.
He was an Aggie for a little bit. He was Texas A&M's interim head coach in 2017.
He's 0-1. He lost that bowl game. So he's a loser.
he lost the bowl game after Kevin Sumlin got fired?
Yeah. But yeah, he's been there since 2021. Survived Monkey Gate. And now he's married to pole assassin.
Yeah,
congratulations. You think like on their wedding certificate it says
Mr. and Mrs.
Mr. and Mrs. Pole Assassin?
I think her name
Pole Banks.
I think her name is 100% back to what it was before. Danielle Thomas.
You don't think she was just
wait? You think that maybe?
I think if you're going to get married, you're probably not going to have on your marriage certificate
the stage name,
the old pole assassin.
Yeah. Probably keep it on the birth certificate.
Mm. Hell yeah, dude!
That's one of those moments where, like, I imagine like them having like kids, and like your sixth grade son just like one day is like, "Hey, mom, why do my friends call you the pole assassin?" Or having that awkward conversation.
I'm sure if you have like parents of some note, you Google your parents' name, and you Google Jeff Banks, and I already forgot what pole assassin's actual name is, but you Google their name, and this story comes up.
If I'm Jeff Banks, I want to change my last name. I want to be really forward for the gals.
Oh, Jeff,
I want to change my last name to Assassin.
Oh, Jeff Assassin.
I would love if Texas had a coach named Jeff Assassin on staff.
Especially if he's your special teams coach.
Jeff Assassin.
That makes him sound good.
When they show him, like, you know, calling a play when they're sending out the punt team, and it's like, special teams coordinator Jeff Assassin has really done wonders with this unit. Yeah, I like it.
Sean Mays behind the glass, Joe George to my right. I'm Paul Gallant. It's Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The Astros needed to get pitching depth yesterday. It is 2:01 p.m. Central Time. Why have they not added an arm after Jake Bloss was brutalized in front of all of us? They look what they did to my boy! Galan and George, stick around.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.